Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. You're hearing the Iron River Singers at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston this morning. The MFA, as well as multiple cities and towns across Massachusetts, are celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day today. It's part of a national movement by Native American tribes and activists to rename Columbus Day. Now, in a minute, we'll hear from the head of community engagement at the MFA. But first, let's listen to a bit of a conversation we had earlier with Jean-Luc Pirit. He's the board president of the North American Indian Center of Boston. We caught him on his cell phone between events at the MFA. He started by saying that 5 years ago, he couldn't have imagined so many places recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day.
I feel a sense of solidarity, and not so much because of what's happening from the institution standpoint, but we are actually seeing the diversity of our community. We are seeing people coming from Peru, from Panama. They are coming to our tables and talking about issues within their own countries. So we're seeing just kind of like this coming together of like-minded people, and we're seeing sort of like the political nature of Indigenous Peoples Day.
So, Jean-Luc, the MFA and other cultural institutions, other museums, have a fraught legacy with colonialism, with excluding people of color. We know that in the case of the MFA, there was a specific incident earlier this year, a racist incident with young people from the public schools. What role should our cultural institutions play in dealing with what is a colonial heritage?
So part of the conversation did come about as a result of what happened with the students of color at the MFA. But I have to say that another piece of the conversation is actually being reflected at the Massachusetts State House right now. There is a bill called the Protect Native Heritage Bill, and this deals with the process of how museums deacquisition our sacred objects and artwork from our artisans. And so when we talk about the complexities and what it means for our relationship and decolonization of art institutions, tribal consultation is key. How museums actually categorize and recognize the provenance of these objects within their collections, but then also treating our work as actual legitimate art and not coming from a Western perspective. So there are many different things that actually can happen at art institutions to decolonize themselves, and it starts within the institution itself. But we also need legislative measures to help support the advocacy that we're doing.
That was Jean-Luc Pirit, board president of the North American Indian Center of Boston. Let's turn now to Makeba McCreary. She's the chief of learning and community engagement at the MFA. She's on the line. Makeba, welcome.
Hello.
Hi there. So, Makeba, take us into the MFA today. What is happening in the museum around Indigenous Peoples Day?
Well, I would say the first thing is that we have invited artists and professional scholars and all sorts of folks who actually come from Native communities and have agreed, and I think we're really honored that they've agreed to come and share space with us and to bring their gifts. And so here there's been incredible music, there's been dancing, there's been gallery talks, there's been some challenge of our collection and the interpretation. It's really run the gamut.
Today is an important day, Makeba. It is one day. And as you heard, Jean-Luc Pirit was talking about the role of institutions like the MFA and all their cultural institutions in reckoning with the colonial past. So after today, how do you see the MFA's responsibility to the communities whose heritages are on display there?
That's right. Part of the work that I have taken on is to ask that question not just about Indigenous Peoples Day, but also Martin Luther King Day and Lunar New Year and Nowruz. These are all moments where we are somehow really inviting to a community that otherwise doesn't find themselves here on other days. And I think the key to changing that really is in thinking about interpretation, inviting in other voices, allowing our narratives to be challenged. History is really embedded in these pieces of art, objects of art in our collection tells one story, but there's an opportunity for us to allow many other stories to enter that universe. And so I think the more that we open our doors, the more that we are willing to be vulnerable in that process, and the more that we truly honor and celebrate the really rich histories that surround us and that are within the collection, we'll get there. We will continue to get there. But it has to happen on a daily basis, and to your point, not just one day out of the year.
So, Makiba, to this point of opening your doors and embracing some vulnerability, do you see the art world evolving, becoming sort of more complete or more global in terms of how it identifies who makes art and what fine art is?
I can really only speak to my experience here at the MFA, and I can tell you that since I got here in January, the efforts that have changed are truly found when you are sort of listening in a gallery and you're watching people interact with the different exhibitions, and you hear people walk into Ancient Nubia now and say, oh my gosh, I have never seen my people represented in this way, and our work is incredible. It's legacy building, and why hasn't anyone told this story before? Those are the moments that I think happen more and more, and the more that happens, there's evidence that we are getting there and we are getting to the right place.
Makiba, the MFA is such an iconic institution in Boston. The city itself doesn't officially recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. Cambridge and Brookline do, but Boston doesn't. Does that somehow give the MFA an extra responsibility to provide recognition?
I don't think it's just the MFA's responsibility, but yes, we accept that and we embrace it and we celebrate it. But I think every cultural institution, academic institutions, we all have a responsibility to make sure that we are honoring the individuals that use our space and that we're actually here to serve. And so everybody plays a part in this, and I think we all should be taking a position on this topic and others as well, but collectively, and I think we have a lot to learn from each other.
You said, I really want to zero in on this phrase you used of, you know, we're here to serve. How do you see this concept of service for the MFA in terms of both, again, you know, reckoning with its own colonial past, but also embracing the vibrancy of, you know, multicultural Boston?
Yeah, I was just having this conversation not too long ago with somebody. The beauty, right, of this museum is it's encyclopedic, and it holds in it, you know, decades and decades of histories that are found in objects of art. And the question is, for whom were those stories created, and to who did those objects belong? And at one point in time, it probably didn't look very much like the current population of the city of Boston. And I think we've taken a little bit too long to respond to our current public and to our citizens, but we're ready to do that now, and I think we're moving forward aggressively. That's the work, is to acknowledge that the people who we are here to serve, because our doors are open and they should be inviting and welcoming to everybody, this institution should feel like it belongs to everybody in this city. And we're not there yet, but we are going to get there. And I think it's with moments like this where we decide that we are going to take a position and really step into a space that, I said before, allows us to be vulnerable. It also allows us to grow and learn from other people as well.
Let's talk about the complexity of Columbus Day. It has a vexed history, to put it simply. Mm-hmm. It remains especially important to many Italian-American communities in this country and in Boston. The MFA is celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day today. It's an interesting tension, Makiba. What do you say to critics who argue that supplanting Columbus Day ignores a different historically marginalized group, that is Italian-Americans, especially here in Boston?
Sure. I say it can't be a zero-sum game. I said that in my career in education as well. Just because one student is able to access a high-quality education doesn't mean that another student should be denied that. I think the same is true when you acknowledge a community and a culture. It really should not preclude you from also acknowledging and honoring a culture that perhaps has some significance on that similar moment in time. So we've got to find ways to share space, and I think that's what my approach to that work. And I would invite others to think about that as well.
The MFA, I think, arguably has actively pursued a reckoning in the last several of months. When doing that in large, how do you think about managing the tension of competing groups with competing histories and competing claims?
I don't think there's anything to manage. I think the reality is that we are here to serve the community of Boston. We're here to serve our international visitors, and every family, every child should feel like they are welcome to come into this museum and be a part of our community. And so anything that we do to create barriers for that, it's our work to remove those barriers and to figure out how to become the most inclusive environment possible. I see that as an inviting opportunity. I don't know. It's certainly challenging in how much you have to deconstruct, and a lot of it's invisible at this. In this day, we have a lot of those barriers that I don't know that we've even acknowledged. And so we also need to make sure that we're open enough that folks will come and say to us, hey, you know, there's some things that are happening here that don't make me feel like my culture is really being honored in the way that I would want to participate.
And Makiba, do you feel like today's events have been a success for the MFA and for people who wanted to come and celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day?
I mean, absolutely. If you just walk through the Shapiro Courtyard or into any of the galleries where you just see the incredible diversity of this city, but also some truth-telling. You know, we've had some incredible guests who have been speaking to all of our visitors about those two sort of, you know, conflicting moments where we have been a part as a museum of denying a certain history and not acknowledging even the lands that we are on, to today actually honoring the lands that we are on as, you know, not being that of our own. And we're thrilled. It's just been wonderful.
That is Makiba McCreary, Chief of Learning and Community Engagement at the MFA. Thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Jamie Bologna, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi, and I'm Tisiana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.